Thank you.
Sounds good. Your audio is a little muffled there. Is mine okay?
Yours is okay. Is this a little better?
Yeah, you bet.
Thank you.
We'll just get going in a minute or two here. Start near 12 sharp if we can. Let a few more people come in. Thank you for joining us on time.
Yeah, I'm going to share it to my page now.
Thanks for coming, guys. We're going to start here in a minute or two. Just going to wait till the top of the hour, let a few more people come in. We'll be right with you. Okay, we will get started here. 12 o'clock, Sunday, April 7th. Welcome to the Super Ledger Podcast, episode 20. I'm your host, Chris. You can follow my journey here on X or on YouTube at Corium Concepts. This podcast is sponsored by Corium Community DAO. You stake your Corium, be part of an empowered community and hub of resources and networking opportunities in our Discord. All links can be found at CoriumCommunityDAO.com. We provide this weekly community space for all participants in the Web3 space to engage, learn, and share value. And we focus on the Corium Superledger, but welcome all communities as we become more interoperable every day with tools like the XRPL Corium two-way bridge that connect over 100 IBC chains and growing each day. As always, there'll be an opportunity after the interview to come up and ask your own questions and contribute in any way you'd like. This is for the community, so if there's anything you'd like to share or any questions that you have on anything Corium, XRPL, IBC, we'll do the best we can to get those answered here today, also towards the end of the show. The next 2 weeks on the Superledger podcast will be powerful. On episode 21, we'll have a return of Lunar Space. They have some exciting new things coming up that we're going to discuss. And the last time they're on the show, they took a solid 3.5 hours nonstop, so it's bound to be a good one. And episode 22, I'm really excited to get to learn more about, is a project called MyWeb3.me. And I'll be participating in that project as it becomes live. So I'm eager to learn more and share it with the community here. So with that, it's my pleasure here today to have my usual co-host in a different capacity. He is reggae musician, Web3 thought leader, and is just returning from NFT NYC 2024, where he had a speaking engagement. So this week, it's my pleasure to have Articulate as our guest here today. Welcome. How are you today?
I am doing great, Chris. Thank you for having me. And it's always a pleasure being on the Superledger podcast. Got back yesterday from New York. And it was quite the experience. Can't wait to share more.
As happy you got out of there safely, it seems every time you're in New York for an event, the weathers are extreme. It's I think it was the proper party that Ripple put on some time ago in the summer that there was flooding, and you go there this time, there's earthquake and severe weather again. So what do you come home with thinking of New York, I guess, after all that?
We change the climate wherever we go, but this year at NFT NYC, I can say that it was different from other years. The turnout in terms of builders and people who are, you know, just doing things in the blockchain space. You know, it was good. It was great. Got to make some connections. And just the vibrancy of the city that comes alive every time NFT NYC is around. You have people that travel from all over the world, a number of countries to be there, with very different stories and background. It's like, you know, the city has a different energy, and they come for one purpose. And to you know, to network and to, you know, build their brands, give their brands exposure, but to also learn more about this technology and how it's changing the everyday experience and also the future that we're walking into. So, you know, of course, as you mentioned, the earthquake that happened. Yeah, it did happen. I didn't feel it, fortunately. I was on the ground heading to the Flix Feast brunch by Omniflix. And by the time I got out of the subway, they got some calls and texts that, you know, it just happened. But, you know, I checked in on a few people that were in the area, and you know, everyone was safe. No major damage reported so far. But, you know, the resilience in terms of, we had extreme rain starting the event. The first 2 days were just heavy downpour, monsoon rains straight, you know, and people were still coming in from wherever they were coming from to make their talks and to attend other talks to learn more and to network. And, you know, it didn't deter, it didn't stop the event per se. And, you know, I just learned a lot in terms of that we could have earthquakes, storms, whatever it is, the blockchain technology community is going to make it happen. They're going to be there and they're going to show up, you know. So just my initial thoughts coming back, it was just more of like, we're here and we're here to stay and nothing can't shake us, no pun intended. But I was happy to be a part of the experience. The first day was the VIP dinner, where we got to network with the guests who are VIPs and also speakers and sponsors and stuff. So, you know, we had a couple of hours just to get to know each other, reunite with people we've met before in previous NFT NYCs. And after that, you know, we head down to Times Square and they plugged in the ads live, where you saw all the NFT NYC ads. Took over 3 billboards this year for the duration of the conferences. Throughout the week, they had 25 musicians and performers, which is one room by itself, where they had a stage up, some artwork displaying. And throughout the day, you had people performing their music, community members, of course. But it was quite a treat. If you wanted to take a break from networking and, you know, learning and stuff, you could, you know, go have a snack and, you know, listen to some music, check out some artwork. They had also a metaverse type experience there with one of the artists, where you could immerse yourself into, you know, technology and art. There was over 60 sponsors, 200 plus community satellite events. And the satellite events, I must say, you know, those seem to be becoming the main events in some regard, and not just NFT NYC, but other NFT or blockchain conferences, where, you know, yeah, people go for the main conference and the main theme, but with, you know, say some community events taking over, are there even more than the main events or the conferences or the speech or the talks or the panels, you have a good time or opportunity to meet founders in a social environment, to network with people, to have a deeper conversation outside of, say, a 25-minute panel or a 5-minute, 10-minute talk. You get to, you know, level and meet and talk on a different level. So those, to me, I got good quality, networking done from a few of those. And not just people who are community members who put on their own events, but you had some sponsored events like Yuga Labs for the Bored Apes. You had Cardano. You had Omniflix. I believe Polygon did something. Forbes Web3 did something. A few events, actually. Hedera with collaboration. There were a couple of blockchains who sponsored events, which were side events, and you know, some of them were exclusive events where you had a, you know, to get like a certain code or password to get in, but others where you could just sign up and get in. And it, you know, to me, they're worth it, because some people who are not able to, say, attend the main conference, they'll make an extra effort to just be in the city around the time of the conferences and go to the side events. So you'll end up meeting a lot more people that you won't necessarily see at the main location. There were 800 plus speakers. And throughout the April 3 to 5, they had about, I would say, what, 8 or 10 rooms where you had either panels or 10-minute talks going throughout the 3 days, from like 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning to like 5:30, 6 p.m. in the evening. So you'd have one room is a track. So you'd have a brand track, or you'd have a legal track, or you have an entertainment track, or you have a tech track, you know, AI and stuff. So then you have one big room with the main stage where you had like the more influential, like thought leaders in the space, and not just Web3, but you know, in the world in general. So you had OpenSea CEO who had a sit down with the founder of NFT NYC. You had a couple other names, like people from MasterCard and other brands who shared what they're doing, how they're utilizing and implementing this technology into their work stack, and you know, helping to shape the reality of what we're experiencing. There was a talk as well with, say, Hester Pierce from the SEC, who gave some background on regulations and where we are, and you know, how that plays into, you know, distributive ledger technology and blockchain and NFTs and stuff. So they had a little bit of everything for everybody. And I was just, you know, happy. I was grateful. I met up with my friend at Afayo, who is the head of growth. Shout out to Wayne, Blockchain Wayne. He did a speech as well. And, you know, we attended a couple events together, did some networking. I had an opportunity to meet with a member of the Algorand community. They just started a kind of cross-chain initiative called For the Culture. And that's where they're doing like a multi-chain type thing media-wise, where they're going around to different blockchain events and just, you know, talking with people, finding out what's happening and, you know, networking in a sense, but also, you know, interviewing people. So I had the opportunity to be interviewed by them, and hopefully that interview will be out soon. So I am just being there, sharing about Corium was, you know, to me, an experience in itself. A few people have heard of it. Most people haven't. So I was able to, even in my 25-minute panel, mention what Corium brings to the table where it regards to branding with NFTs, what, you know, a smart token technology applied to different industries can do, and how, you know, people could leverage that technology today, especially with the two-way bridge live right now, you know?
That's exciting. And there's a lot to unpack from that week. And I got a list of questions, but we know each other quite well. Obviously, we spent a lot of time on the podcast together, and I want to kind of take it back, because I have done two interviews with you in the past, and those are available on YouTube, obviously, but we started a podcast since then, and the audience has grown quite a bit. We've done some live streams on X, becoming quite popular. So I kind of want to take it back a bit and say, like, This is not the first time you spoke at NFT NYC. So you've been there multiple years now as a speaker and thought leader. Take us back to the start of your journey. How did you, for those in the community that maybe haven't got to know you yet, how did you get here and find yourself in Web3 as a musician, as a thought leader, our partner at Corner Community DAO here, and co-host of a podcast? How'd that all come about? You mind just taking us back, giving us some history, even though I know it, obviously, but I think it's important to share.
Sure, no problem, Chris. Thank you for that. So as a musician, I was born and raised in Jamaica. I ended up migrating to the United States in my early 20s. And I've been doing music, say, most of my life. Grew up in the church, sang on the choir. My dad was a musician. Genetically, I have, an ear to kind of write songs or melodies and stuff. But coming to the United States, I, continued my musical journey, making records and, partnering with people, doing collaborations and putting out music. And I've always, in the background been a kind of techie, in terms of, growing up, taking devices apart, learning how things work. I remember being a fan of music, and I wasn't able to, say, acquire music or buy music at the time. So learning how to use a cassette player and record music off the radio, chop it in a way with the cassette recorder that you could cut out the ads, all that stuff, to starting to make my own music, where I would record when they play a 3-minute snippet of a beat and loop that on a cassette track and then start recording my own vocals and make my own music from that era, So when the technology started to advance and, getting new phones and learning what they're doing and what tech is running them, speed and everything, I got a whiff of the new era and the new, revolution happening with what is coming, and that was blockchain technology. At the time I first learned about blockchain and crypto, I wasn't necessarily all the way sold or, engaged. It took me maybe another 2 years or so before I, doubled back and said, wait a minute, something is happening here. And that was around, I'd say, 2019, 2018, 2019, thereabout, where I fully immersed myself. And the first major project, I would say, I started to do massive research on was the XRP and Ripple and what they were doing. And, learning, spending every day in the space, following influencers and learning about different partnerships and how, different solutions are, possible with this technology to be built out and to, revolutionize every industry per se. I just got more intrigued and doing more research. And, at that time, I kind of took a break from music as well, just to focus and to find myself and what I could do with this, because to me, I saw it as a huge opportunity not just learning something new, but to be a part of a whole revolution. I looked at back in the days of the other revolution before this, when, we had, say, electricity for the first time, or when we had the internet for the first time, what were people doing back then? Were some people scared of the change of, what they knew and what is coming, or was some people embracing it and trying to learn as much as they can to see how they can fit in it or affect it or contribute to it? And, I was of the latter nature, and I, started to see what I could do musically, how I could put my music out as a reggae artist, but to also build solutions for musicians and artists and how I could possibly change the music industry in the future. And through the XRP ledger, you know, I found projects like Sologenic. And, you know, at the time, you know, they were working on something now, which is Corium. But followed the journey, learned, and, you know, being a part of that early part of Corium until now. And the thing about this whole journey is that even though it's still early, and even though, you know, I myself feel that I'm at a place where I'm more comfortable to say, okay, I could get back actively musically and, you know, start recording and putting out music with new technology and integrating and, you know, creating something that doesn't exist. And I do feel that I still have a whole lot to learn, you know, but at the same time, I am more comfortable now to say that where we at today, it is a moment in time that people are going to study in the future. You know, what were people doing in 2024 when regulations weren't a thing worldwide and this new tech was there and they had so much they could leverage and do? I don't want to be one of those people sleeping at the wheels, knowing that I can and I have the ability to understand what this is and how it works and what I can, you know, possibly do with it. And meeting people like, you know, Corium Community DAO. Through Corium, when I found a project, I found a community. I was like, wow, there is a community of people who get it, you know, and they understand that we can do this, share information together, we can educate other people and each other, and we can build on top of this technology and find solutions more than, you know, arguing across communities and finding problems, you know. So I like the vibe, I like the team, I like what was happening, and I'm glad that I found you guys, and you know, I'm glad that you saw something in me that, you know, will help build this out into the future and beyond, so other people and other communities could benefit. But it's about contributing, and, you know, we all have something that we can contribute to this space, and it's what we're willing to do, you know, how we're willing to be remembered, you know, in the future and for generations to come, because nothing short of, you know, what we can do today can make us legends or can make us, like, you know, forgotten. So any little thing like you can do right now in this time, especially with blockchain technology, it changes the spectrum somewhat. Any little contribution you make, it creates something that doesn't exist, and it also can be adopted in a way where it becomes a standard in some way, shape, or form. So the more active you are, the more things you contribute to this time and space, you have the ability to help, you know, set up the world for your children and your children's children and pass down a legacy that it was harder to acquire 10, 15, 20, 50 years ago. You know, generational wealth that some side of the spectrum are locked out of or can't access, or it's harder for them to accomplish. But we have a time where we can change our story and our time, and this is now.
That's great. Thanks for sharing that. And we're at a great spot too, where we're early with this technology. It's going to be a part of every industry and stream, like, in our lives moving forward. And you can contribute to in these early times, even if you're not a developer. I wish I was a developer, but you can be a content creator. You can be a musician. You can just be an artist. You know, there's always a place to contribute in this space. And a big part of it is finding a community to help each other through that and, you know, pool those resources together and actually get things done. So it's been a pleasure having you on board. It's great to watch your journey and, you know, seeing yourself up on Times Square. That must be a heck of a feeling for you.
Yes, for sure. And being at NFT NYC for my third year in a row as a VIP speaker, it has a bigger bang each time. You know, I love the fact that they are community focused in terms of, you know, they allow people or they incentivize people to, you know, be the speakers, be the voice of this space and this technology and put them up on the main stage that they create and provide resources around. But yeah, it's a great feeling to know that, you know, there's an organization out there willing to, you know, put you up and maybe some people would say that the highest, you know, pedestal or place you could possibly think of, the middle of Times Square. And my other half who created the artwork, you know, when it happened to me the first time last year, it's a surreal feeling. You look around, you have hundreds of people from NFT NYC who, because we, you know, they go there after the VIP dinner to kind of, you know, run the ads live for the first time. But you have hundreds of people who know what's going on, but then you have thousands of people who don't know what's going on. So you get to see in real time people just turn around and be curious and ask you like, hey, what's going on? What's this? You know, why are you guys? And you get to onboard people to Web3 in the middle of Times Square, and you know, you look up and you see your face on the billboard, and I see artists and you know, big famous celebrities who make a big deal of that itself. But you know, it does do something to you to know that you're being recognized and you're being promoted and marketed, and you know, you have the opportunity to reach countries and you know, continents by just contributing to something that is so great. And you know, there are people who are willing to make that happen for you.
Well, you've been very blessed. All your hard work has certainly paid off multiple times. I don't know if you want to share the story, but I asked you some time ago about, you know, I don't know if I asked you, you told me about the first time you heard your music on the radio and you know what that feeling was like. And you know, so that's to me a pretty powerful moment, and you described it well. Comparing the two, as far as you know, just a feeling of a pride, accomplishment. How do those two rank?
I'm glad you brought it up. Thank you, Chris. So briefly, I just you know, in a nutshell, first time I heard my music on the radio. Early 20s, like 2021, age-wise, and living in Jamaica. I made reggae gospel at the time, and we were actually on our way to church. Now, before this, to preface, I did this on a Saturday night where I came from the studio, you know, paid my money. I didn't have a record label or a manager or anything, but I had an idea for a song. I had someone put, I had a skeleton of a beat I made on Fruity Loops, but I had them kind of fill in some harmonics and stuff. And I took it to the studio, record vocals on it, and I made a CD where I put two songs on it. I made my three or four copies. I walked that Saturday evening to about three radio stations in the area. One was a gospel station and two were like more secular music, like reggae and hip hop and stuff. And I didn't expect much of it. I just wrote on it, please include in your Sunday playlist. That's all I wrote on the paper, the packet. I dropped it off at the front desk with each of these radio stations, not expecting anything because I'm not a known artist or anything at the time. And going to church that next day, around 9 a.m., you know, it was like a announcement that the DJ was making. Hey, we have, they called me DJ Aaron at the time, new music, and they were making a big deal out of it. And they played it, they stopped it, they started over, they played it. It was like they were introducing some hit record. And going down the street in the car I was in, the taxis, the buses, all the other cars in the parking lots, they were all playing the same station because it was like a, you know, national broadcast radio station. And I was like, I hear my voice in, you know, all over the streets. And I'm like, you know, I'm like, wow. And people are dancing in their cars. I'm like, I don't even know how to say that feeling is, but I remember that that was a moment in time for me. I knew that, you know, I wanted to make more music and I wanted to make people dance. And making, you know, NFTs or making content about blockchain technology, and to see my face on the billboard in Times Square for the first time, it was, and as I said, people were curious, what is this, you know, who are you? And, you know, same type of feeling to this day, but it's like on a different level, because that was more a national type of exposure. And, you know, I got to kind of enjoy that with the music, but this is more now an international, intercontinental type of exposure, which is now recorded on a, you know, more, I would say, the way how this hits me, I almost cried the first time it happened last year, to be honest, because I still can't process, like, okay, how did this even happen? You know, where am I? Did I time travel? Like, what's going on? But I knew that somewhere along the line, this is who I am and this is what I was carved out for. So I understand the scope of what's happening and, you know, where the levels that it's taking me, and transcending time and space to accomplish a lot in a short time and to, you know, make things happen in this space. And I would say that they both hit a hard way in its own vein, you know. So they both have a lot of velocity, but I would say that the billboard in Times Square has its own effect. But as a Jamaican and hearing my songs on the national radio stations at prime time with everybody dancing to my music and you know, calling in and requesting it, that to me hit as a first time experience too. I think that one carries more weight.
Well, both very powerful accomplishments, no doubt, and the trend line on that's pretty amazing. I can't wait to see what your next notch in the belt is as far as your career progresses, especially into the Web3 space. So thanks for sharing that amazing story. Like I said, I love music. Music's a big part of my life. I you know, put my kids through piano lessons and I still couldn't learn music myself. I tried drum lessons, everything. So like a musician to me is almost like a magician. One of those things is such a big part of my life, but I just can't get my head around producing it or making it myself. So, you know, and the other thing I want to take the time to point out is the power of community and resources like these X spaces, because really that's what had us really begin conversing. I happened to wander into Omniflix X space that they have weekly I just seen that they had a validator on the Corium network. So I was just sniffing around, seeing if there was a story there, what was going on. And quickly, you know, got to learn about what they're doing, and that really opened my eyes a lot. And then it also expanded, you know, into other IBC projects beyond there with that connection. But I, you know, was in those spaces where like, man, I know the perfect person. I got to tell about Omniflix, and I started, you know, poking at you, saying, hey, you got to come check this out. Like, you know, I don't know what they're doing on the Corium network with a validator, but aside from all that, like, look at their technology. I think, you know, as a musician, it might be of some value to you. And so it was exciting for me to watch all that happen, because it wasn't much long later. And to this day, I can still go on Omniflix and enjoy your music. So there's a lot of value to be had in these spaces and community hubs, you know, to share resources like that and make partnerships and friendships.
For sure. And the marriage between, say, the blockchain technology we speak of now and this Web2 platform that currently exists and other platforms like this, I think when that moment also happens, it's going to be a moment in time, because when that goes live, now a whole world or 99% of people who have no knowledge of what's going on right now with Web3 and you know, maybe 1 or 0.5 or 0.75, I don't know, percent of people who do have the knowledge, when those worlds collide, I think we're in for something, because we're going to have millions and billions of people who need to know this technology and need the knowledge, need to be onboarded. And we're going to have platforms like this and more to help onboard them. And as you said, these are powerful platforms. These are powerful tools. And I think we're, you know, at the right place at the right time. And it's like the stars are aligning, literally. And I'm just excited. You know, every day when I wake up, I'm very motivated to, you know, learn more. I see people like, you know, Henry from Lunar Space in the crowd. I see Tank, who does very hard work in the space in terms of getting that information out there, actually building stuff, you know, to help to, you know, benefit communities and people who are, you know, in the space and are coming to the space. But we're the architects, you know, we're the people putting this together. We're actually building the future. No, it or not. It might be sounding cliche, but we are. And everything we do counts. And that's why I say that, you know, any little thing you're doing right now is going towards a greater thing 10, 15, 20 years from now. I see Snails, who is building an educational platform, you know, my Web3 by our side. Like, we have builders who are, we are all doing our own, you know, making our own contribution and making history in our own way. But sometimes, you know, discouragement may come and we may not see the impact we're having. But I can guarantee you that when the two worlds collide and people are searching and hungry to actually, you know, for their own maybe survival, because now, say this becomes the standard not long from now, and, you know, they have to do regular things in everyday life, and they're stuck because they don't know how to open a wallet, or they don't know how to, you know, do certain things that we do by second nature. You know, we're gonna be like the as you like you said, the wizards, the magicians, the people, the professors, with this knowledge and with the technology to help get them where they need to be. And, you know, we're being entrusted at this time and space to soak up this knowledge, to put it into practice, to create and to build. And I do believe that we may not see the full impact, and we are not going to see the full impact, but we're going to have a huge impact that maybe hits 50 years from now, 100 years from now, when people are actually, you know, looking back and looking at the people at the foundation who actually started this, or at the starting point knew enough to, you know, build and not to tear down, you know. And I think that's a huge difference.
Yeah, I think Web3 is gonna get hit like by a freight train with adoption, and not maybe in the sense that we had wanted or expected. I see it more from government policy and initiatives, and I don't just mean regulating crypto. In British Columbia, Canada, here next year, the BC digital wallet is going live. It's available now. You can use it. It's limited use cases, but, you know, come 2025, 2026, everything's on there, your driver's license, your health card. So what I see happening is, once you give everybody a wallet, because they have to have it, you know, I think they tried that with some health measures in Canada a few years ago to make sure everybody's got their digital ID. But that's kind of come and went. But this is going to be here to stay. And once you have people used to having a digital wallet and wondering how those work and what you can do from there beyond that, I think you're going to see a steep acceleration in interest into Web3 and DeFi and all of these things. So I think it's important that we do build right now and get prepared, because I think it's going to shock the industry a lot once these technologies become pushed out by nations.
I agree. And I think there was a recent ruling in favor of Coinbase that digital assets that are sold on their platform are not considered securities, you know. So we're getting to that point where It's probably going to happen faster than we probably think. You see Ripple coming out saying they're by the, later this year, they're coming with a stablecoin on both the XRP Ledger and Ethereum. Some sort of regulation might come this year, maybe for stablecoin first, but there's going to be something that starts the onboarding on a bigger level. If you're in the clear now for, say, assets sold on your platform are not securities, but more commodities, then you're actually kind of opening up the gate. You're giving the green light in a sense, because now Coinbase is kind of in the clear where that is concerned, and not just Coinbase, but it will, I believe, apply to other entities like that around the country and around the world. So we are in the point where it's shaping up in front of our faces, in front of our eyes. And these moves and these timestamps are very important towards the greater goal and the adoption phase. We saw at the start of this year where Bitcoin ETFs started going live in the US, and that's a huge deal. The institutions are trickling in, but with the sale, and Coinbase is saying that the number one custodian for like Bitcoin ETFs and institutional custody. So when you think of them being given the green light in that sense, that's a huge deal and a big timestamp in my opinion. And with a stablecoin coming on the XRP Ledger, backed you one for one US dollar wise, I think that's also a huge milestone that's on the horizon. And those moves that's happening in the regulatory scheme of things could only mean that not long from now it's going to kind of start going more mainstream. So when you have assets and protocols like Corium, who is doing things the regulated way as well, first bridge on the XRP Ledger, start you can now bridge your assets, all assets on the XRP Ledger, into the Cosmos ecosystem and back. When that stablecoin comes out, of course, right now all XRP holders can access US dollar, USDC through Corium, through IBC. But I do believe that these are building blocks that are going to just make this whole thing more interoperable and more compatible with the each jurisdictions. And I do believe that it's in the making. And as you said, when the adoption cycle starts to steam up and pick up, I think we're going to see spikes, because there's going to be things that need to happen to, as you said, like digital identity and things like that are going to start becoming a reality and necessary. So when those things happen, there are going to be spikes because you're going to have to onboard, countries and hundreds of thousands and millions of citizens to at least have a wallet to identify themselves. So that opens the gate to, hey, what else can I do with this tech, and what is this, and where can I find out more about this, and how can I leverage this? You're going to have those people who have those questions and would want to do more. So yeah, I do believe we're in that time, and we're heading that direction.
Well, and to further the Coinbase story this week, the Ontario Securities Commission gave Coinbase the royal nod in Canada. So they're one of the few regulated exchanges in the country and officially the largest crypto regulated exchange in the country right now. So, all right, well, let's get to the NFT NYC. You had a speaking engagement there. I'm curious about a few things there, but first, what was your spot that you were speaking to at the event there?
Yeah, so this year I was speaking on the brands track. So I was speaking about branding with NFTs and the future, a glimpse into the future. The funny thing about that is I had created a a 10-minute talk to do. I submitted the slides, and that was the topic, you know. So they actually chose it to be a more like a panel discussion. You know, it was a great session. People came out. They were, you know, they asked questions at the end. And, you know, the people came up to me and after and was like, you know, thank you. You know, you contributed to this conversation, taught me something, and would love to build more with you. So that's all you could ask, you know. Once you're able to put something there that probably someone else wasn't thinking about, or that sparks an idea in someone else's brain, to either make them more intrigued or to want to build with you or to build in general, I think, you know, that helps to push us closer to, you know, adoption.
Planting seeds. That's great. Great to hear. You know, and funny, you know, you go into a session speaking to the future and you happen to be talking about a blockchain that a lot of people there haven't even heard of yet. So that's interesting there. So what's the vibe there? You've been there multiple years, different times in the market cycle, I guess, maybe each time.
I'm there. Not sure if everyone could hear you, Chris, but I think you cut off for me.
Oh, I see. Can you hear me there okay?
Yes, yes.
Okay. So yeah, I was just wondering like what the overall vibe there is. You've been there in past years, different times in the market cycle. What's the overall vibe and expectations, you know, moving forward from here at the event?
Well, noticeably entering the building this year, there was, you know, some things that stood out versus previous years and previous experiences. And it kind of made me think now, one versus previous years, there were, say, a lot more sponsors that had, like, you know, their displays up all over the place. So it was, you know, more traffic per se in terms of that spectrum. The builders are always going to, you know, show up and come out. But I did notice that we're concerned just people who were, you know, very new to the space, or, you know, who didn't know much about, you know, NFTs or DLT or blockchain. There weren't that much this year at the main events, in terms of like the main building, the conferences, the talks, the panel discussions. But what I'm finding as a trend at these type of events, summits, conferences, the side events are where it's kind of at, you know, more and more people are leveraging that that time and space. So there, when I go to the side events, I run into people I don't see in the main building, but also I see more people in general per se, you know. So I'm not sure what causes that trend in not just NFT NYC, but I've heard people give feedback that it's something that happens, you know. One, maybe because some of these side events are free, there's a lower barrier to entry per se. If you possess, if you're a part of an NFT community and they're doing a side event, you have the NFT, you're in, whatever the case is, that's something that stood out to me. But this is the second year NFT NYC used this location, which was the Javits Center. And three years ago, they used the Marriott Marquis Hotel. Now, the difference between those two locations to me is that when we used the Marriott Marquis Hotel, they had to actually split up the panels and the talks into different buildings. Now, you know, you're attending NFT NYC, you're, say, in the marquee at somebody's talk, or you're at a booth collecting merch or just networking, but then you have to make a talk, or you have to, or you did a talk just now, or you have to do something else. You have to go outside and you have to be through the, you know, the heavy foot traffic in Times Square to get to another building to sign in and to, you know, so it's like it was kind of something that was tedious to, you know, try to maximize it. When everything is one in one building, like the Javits, you're able to go upstairs, come downstairs. It's a quicker reach, you know, so I found that to be more convenient per se for location wise. But we did, I did notice when we were at the Marquee, we had more people who had no knowledge. They were just looking around. If it weren't the people staying at the hotel, it was people just coming in and trying to see, because there was more people in Times Square. Where Jacob Javits is at, it's just, it's only like 11th Avenue and 38th Street. So it's like, it's out of the way per se, you know. So if you had to have business to be on that side per se, you know, there's not a lot of foot traffic in that area, apart from maybe the car show next door. But they're more there for the car show. They probably come into the wrong building and you say, oh, you're not for the event, so you can't come in. You know, so it's like, and they did ask for feedback this year. And I did point out a few things that I think one of them is barrier to entry. If we could find a way where we, you know, you look at the tickets, some of the tickets were like $700, you know, close to $1,000 to get in. So it's like, if we could find a way to at least let people come in and let their curiosity be quenched in terms of, you know, what we've put out there marketing wise, I think we could onboard more people in just whatever way suits them, you know, because there's something there for everybody. I know they want to keep the quality of the event going and their cost, you know, to involve with this, but I do find that if there's some way, shape or form, we could probably get sponsorship to offset some of that and then maybe have lower ticket prices or do things where you know, give away a certain amount of tickets, so, you know, to people who are passing and are curious, whatever it is. I just think that those things are important, because now we only have mostly builders there again, you know, so it's like it's mostly the people who are having projects speaking to each other about their projects, and not much of the people who don't know or would like to know or should know about this new frontier that we are on, and we have the opportunity to onboard and educate them. So to me, I think that in somewhere in the middle of that, we can have, if we can have accessibility in that sense, just to the normal people, we can probably do something to help, you know, make this accelerate a lot faster. But that's something I find. It's like we're more, you know, speaking to each other, networking. Yes, that's great. And there are great projects out there. But I think there's also value in speaking to someone who is curious about it and would like to come in and would like to know, but they probably can't afford a $700 or, you know, $500 ticket, but would be probably a big contributor to this space, or is passionate about learning and doing something with this.
That's interesting. Yeah, it's opening up to bring more people in. That's a great insight there. NFT ecosystems come through pretty long, dark crypto winter. You know, some projects, you know, going, losing 90% of their value, getting wiped out, whatever. When there's blood in the water, obviously the media picks up on it and is more than happy to highlight that. What are you seeing for projects there? Like, you have Solana, Bitcoin, all-time highs, a lot of activity there. You see XRPL, there's, you know, developers running for the hills, and on that side, you know, what are the projects you're seeing with a big presence there? Is it the still ETH dominated ecosystem, or are you seeing some narratives changing there?
Yeah, it's mostly still a big ETH dominated ecosystem, but yeah, there's some presence of Solana. I definitely bumped into some people and attended some, you know, talks that, you know, people are you know, paying attention and building and are highlighting. I know in the past, say 3 years ago when they're at the Marriott Marquis, it's funny because Ripple had a booth, Polygon had a booth, you know, these big blockchains, Flow Blockchain had a booth, you know, but this year it wasn't a lot of those big names that had a presence, like a booth and representatives there or a team. It was more like, you know, sparses of their communities that were there. Cardano every year does a meetup. So I actually attended a Cardano meetup to do some networking. But, you know, as I said, Hedera had some presence there. So Forbes is actually doing a Web3 initiative. And one of the person at Forbes Web3, they gave some alpha that they're going to roll out something in May with regards to leveraging blockchain technology. And, you know, and that's coming, and it's going to be, they're going to make a big deal about it. So look out for Forbes Web3 and Forbes in general with what they're doing. They did mention that there's some type of tech on the way where with regards to verifying on the blockchain. So they were speaking about when, you know, in the future you log onto a website and whatever it is, either your name or your credential or the information you put up or something identity wise, there would be a little badge on the corner of that website or whatever you're reading, it would say verified by the blockchain. So that is something that they did put out there that is with regards to, you know, verifying and, you know, leveraging blockchain technology to kind of start to, you know, kind of approve what's real and what's not.
Yeah, well, if you spend any time on Instagram Reels or anything like that, you can see why. There you see all kinds of celebrities selling everything you can imagine there with using AI technology. So it's obviously going to be needed. The other place I've said before is going to be a huge demand for it is in the legal system. You know, when you're submitting audio, video, or any type of evidence, I mean, with AI, you have to have it somewhat vetted and verified in some way for it to be admissible. Otherwise, you know, how can you prove it? You can watch a video of anybody saying anything these days in what sounds like their voice. So it's going to be amazing. So that leads me to one of the questions I had for you is, what is the main narrative, I guess, after all of that? Are we, you know, is it, you know, still the PFP ecosystem, or is it real world assets, like tokenizing real, like what are the big narratives you see in the forefront at that event for NFTs?
Yes, so that's a tricky one for me to answer, but there, as I said, were, you know, talks and topics for everybody, and they did have focus on tokenization and real world assets and, you know, just leveraging this technology across the board and use cases utility wise. There is still definitely still a big focus on art and leveraging it for art and artists, but more and more there is like that real world asset aspect of it that is being pushed to the forefront. So that's, to me, I heard a lot of this year, tokenization, as well, and other people, and the lady from Forbes Web3 as well did highlight the importance of soulbound tokens moving forward. You know, that's going to be a huge deal, leveraging this technology. So, yeah, it's there and it's becoming more of a bigger narrative. The real world asset part of things, tokenizing everything on the blockchain. And, you know, I did, you know, have the opportunity to put that into perspective for a few people while I was networking, in the fact that in Q3 of this year, Corium is going to go live with their asset tokenization gateway. And that is been in kind of demo mode or testnet for the past maybe 2 years or so, where you can, you know, play around with tokenizing stocks of the stock market. And Q3, that's going to go live through Corium. So we're, kind of like brought it full circle for some people, like, hey, you're thinking of this thing as 5-10 years out, but I'm telling you, in Q3, this is going live, just to start, you know. But we're getting to that point where you hear BlackRock talking about it more and more, you know, tokenizing real estate, the tokenization of everything. Tokenization is the next big thing, because it is the next big thing. If you think about this, everything we know in our reality now has to kind of be accounted for, not just be accounted for, but has to have a place. So we're building a universe, and we have to actually put things into their places where they go in the physical world, and that's the digitized world. And everything has to have a label, a name, whatever it is. In the physical world, it has to be represented in the digital ledger. So there's a whole lot of things that are about to get tokenized. Everything is about to get tokenized. So we're at the start of that. And that, as you know, Larry Fink says over and over, that's the next frontier. That's a huge, huge deal. And yes, apart from the arts and the PFPs, not just the PFPs, because at the Omniflix brunch, I met up with Sandy Toes. She's a creator in the community. And, she shared her story. And, you know, she pretty much spoke to the point where she leveraged NFTs, PFPs for good. So one of her family members, she shared kind of, you know, we're going through things health-wise, and they needed to do research because that wasn't something that was known in the medical field. And she made NFTs and was able to raise fund that research. And now it's one of the things they look for when newborns come to life in the earth. They actually search for that now. And that was also, helped out through PFPs and NFTs. And that was a utility in itself to help to further medical research and to solve a problem health in the health industry. You know, so more utility-based PFPs as well, not just, you know, the art itself, but the utility that it brings. I think those were more trending this year's NFT NYC.
Well, that's awesome. I was excited when I heard that Omniflix was representing there, and Sandy told us she's such a powerful speaker and voice in the space and advocate for Omniflix. There is awesome that you were able to meet her. I think I'm on her show next month sometime on her podcast, so I'm really looking forward to that. She's a wealth of knowledge in this space on multiple chains, not just Omniflix. So, and speaking of Omniflix, was there how were they representing there? They, in my mind, provide an amazing platform for creators. How are they being taken there?
Yeah, so I'm happy that, you know, they actually took the time and effort to put a side event together at NFT NYC, which was a brunch. They didn't have any, say, members of the team from Omniflix there, but Sandy was the one who hosted the event, and Amanda was the one who organized the event. Amanda is also a person who creates events and organizes events for one of her residents in the past were Akash, she's working with Omniflix right now on other projects for events. So she did a really good job setting up that brunch, and the location and everything I think was great. We had some members that showed up, and we, you know, ate. Food was great, I must say. We had some time to, you know, get together. We kind of, you know, sit together closer And we spent about half an hour, 45 minutes, and we networked with each other together. So we shared who we are, went around the room, Sandy kind of went into, you know, what Omniflix is, who she is, and, you know, how, you know, each person or just anyone in general can use and utilize Omniflix. I was so passionate about what I knew and, you know, just my experience with Omniflix that I kept adding to what she was saying and also, highlighting stuff that she probably didn't include in her presentation, which she was so grateful for. But I do believe that, you know, with platforms like that allow you to put your content up and benefit from it without taking, like I say, a YouTube or doesn't censor you like a YouTube or other platforms, allow you to own your content, allow you to be in touch with the people who support you the most and be able to reward them, you know, if you choose to. I do believe that's power. And I think that's, power getting back to the creators and also the community. And I think that that paradigm shift in a platform like Omniflix is going to change just their experience between creator and community. And their goal is to become that interchain media hub. And I think that's a huge role to play in the ecosystem in general. But I think that it's fitting for them. And I think they're already on their way to that.
Absolutely. Powerful tool. Just this past week, they had a Flix Friday campaign for April, asked me to create an NFT for the campaign. And I put it up there with 500 maximum. And it was gone within 2 minutes. Like, I didn't even get one. They're on the secondary. See, the floor is a little lower today. I'm going to have to buy one off the secondary. But I mean, what an amazing tool. Like, I was using this platform to, you know, kind of be a bridge of communication between Corium Network and the Cosmos ecosystem, you know, just being an IBC-based blockchain. And here are CAF, the friendly robots, has taken off. Got over 1,300 people have a CAF NFT in their wallet right now. It's an amazing tool. The interactive video to me is going to be a game changer for governance issues. Educational purposes, having the ability to, you know, have images as your choices or multiple choice questions. It's powerful tools, and like you said, nobody's censoring you. Nobody's taking a cut. You know, you leave a tip, 100% of that tip goes to the creator. You can now use IBC tokens for tips, you know, so great tool. There's a lot more coming from them in the near term and long term, especially, but exciting project for sure. Glad to see that they were there representing. And then, so the other part, the XRP ledger, has been a lot of chatter on X developers and known NFT brands leaving for other chains, greener pastures. Did any XRPL projects have a presence at the event?
I do believe there was. I think I remember seeing maybe at least one or two that said they were, you know, going to be in the city for NFT NYC, but. I did not actually make it to all like the side events and stuff, so I'm not gonna say no. But for like say the main stage or like the booths that were there, or like some of the talks, not to my knowledge on the main way, but I do believe some side events involved like maybe one or two people or projects that were builders on the XRP ledger.
Excellent. We're going to open it up to everybody here who wants to come up, ask any questions or comment on anything we've been chatting about, add to it, whatever. The floor is open for you guys here soon. I guess before we do that, for you, what would be, outside of obviously, seeing yourself on Times Square and, just speaking there in general, highlight of the week as far as your trip went, what sticks out in your mind?
The thing that, sticks out in my mind this past week at NFT NYC the most, I would say, is the electricity in the community, the passion of the people there that came out to NFT NYC, their vision for this space and this tech, their leveraging of it and what they're doing presently, and just the focus of the teams that showed up. I think there is something there. So I did an interview with Attention.live, and I signed up for it before I went to NFT NYC. And when I went to the booth to, waiting to do my interview, I was speaking to the chief operations officer. And he's a person who is very experienced in not just blockchain technology, but, in the military and other veins. And he was, what he explained to me, a part of that team that helped to, create Unreal Engine and other, things that we use. And to see that there are people like that with that wealth of knowledge and that experience who is today, backing projects or, putting that experience and knowledge and wisdom to work in today's reality and allowing us to leverage their platforms and to, help them work out the kinks or to help them make it better. To me, that was one of the big takeaways. He interviewed me as well. And from what, his assistants were telling me, that he doesn't necessarily do interviews. That was one of the first interviews he did ever, so they were kind of like, wow too. So, that to me showed that, we're not going anywhere. We have people who've been doing, this or things like this for decades, and they're, in the background. You may not see them every day, but you look at, just what is being accomplished today. And I felt more assured and more inspired to just, keep going. And to me, that stood out, the billboard and the, being in Times Square to me is a marker and a timestamp and an accomplishment. But I think that, just to see the life and the lifeblood flowing in the NFT world and the blockchain community, and the new projects coming on stream, you had people who had legal projects there. And I spoke to the CEO of Mintangible, and she's a lawyer, and they're helping people with, minting stuff the legal way. And I spoke to her about Corium, what she can do leveraging Corium as well. So, and that's two stood out to me. There were a few lawyers that I met that were there. I've never met so many lawyers at NFT NYC before. So that was a thing that stood out as well, that, people are there to help you, to support you, to get you where you need to be, and all you need to do is keep building and to keep that dream alive. And there's support system there, there's a community there, there's a community here at the Corium Community DAO. And that was the bigger takeaway for me this week.
Geez, I don't know, lawyers, a bunch of lawyers circling around, I don't know if that's good or bad. Blood in the streets or ambulance chaser, I'm not too sure. But with all that you learned in the week, obviously Corium didn't have a presence there. You were there speaking on your panel. Obviously you went a long ways to represent Corium Community DAO, and we certainly appreciate that. But with everything you learned and, you know, looking to the future with the other industry leaders and you know, maybe hearing of what's needed or what's succeeding, how do you feel about Corium and its position in all of this?
I left more, you know, bullish on Corium because, for one, as I said, a lot of these projects are still, you know, Ethereum-based. And, you know, a lot, some of them are Solana. I don't know if you're aware, but I think there's some sort of outage going on Solana right now that's been going on. But they're pushing and utilizing technology that, and one guy explained it, and I think I understand where he's coming from. So they're saying the reason why, you know, you buy an inscription on Ordinals or you mint on Bitcoin Ordinals platform or like an Ethereum is that the price, right? Like if you're going to have high value price art or, you know, tokenized assets and stuff, you're going to use those type of ledgers, you're going to pay the fee, you know, keeps like the value. Like, so eventually you're not going to have people minting 10 inscriptions or 100 inscriptions. It's going to go down to mostly one of ones because the value is going to be so high that, you know, you owning that and the artist too, like they make art, but they want to have the value of their art stay and appreciate, you know. So it's going to be kind of like boiling down to like that one of one type of like only that one Mona Lisa art or that one piece of asset that exists and you own it. So I kind of understood where they're coming from, but also too, it could still have value, but it still doesn't have to cost you three times the fees to kind of just to the ass fees just to attain the asset, you know. So I do get that there are some people who are willing to pay that just to acquire and to, you know, believe in that vein of thought where, you know, in the future hoping it appreciates and everything. But everything we're doing now in this space is valuable. And as I said, I left more bullish on Corium to know what Corium offers and it's coming with. And the team is so vibrant and active, investing in the future, you know, partnering with universities and making sure that the people who are the new architects learning how to build are equipped with the knowledge and the resources to help them get them there and giving them the tools through Corium. So I do believe that Corium has a huge role, and when they roll out their, you know, NFT full capabilities, and when bids go live, and we start to see what NFTs can do on Corium ecosystem and blockchain in general, and when you think about a two-way bridge and interchain capabilities and everything coming, I think that there's just huge upside and potential for the technology that Corium is doing. And I think it's just still early days yet, and it made me more inspired, you know, about what we're doing here.
Well, and it's interesting with Solana, they were making comment with the recent news about Ripple having a backed one-to-one stable coin. They were speaking to why that would be a great option on or a great use case on Solana, because of their 400 millisecond block time. They feel that that gives them quite the advantage, but I think it's quite the opposite. It's proven to be very unreliable. And, you know, so, you know, financial industry, they're used to waiting days for a transaction. So if they're going to look at, say, hey, do we need a 400 millisecond transaction that's not very reliable, or a 2 to 4 second transaction that's definitely reliable? You look at the XRP ledger, I mean, as reliable gets as far as a payment blockchain, you know, over 10 years worth of history to prove that. And so far, Corium's done quite well, albeit it hasn't been stressed very much yet. There hasn't been a lot of projects putting load on it, but I'm eager to see that. And, you know, assuming it can maintain what it's designed to do, you know, 400 millisecond transaction, I don't think Solana has anything on Corium when it comes to reliability. So And to me, you know, as far as institutional use, that's going to have to stick out at some point.
For sure, for sure. And I can't wait to, you know, be able, I was really trying, you know, to have something. I know, you know, it's still early days yet with what Quorum is doing NFT-wise, but as, you know, working in the background to bring some gifts with me with regards to some, you know, tokens in terms of NFTs to, you know, network with, to give to the people I met and to start to like introduce them to Quorum and stuff. But I did have some PoOps that I give out, and those are some of the people I'm going to be double backing with. And you know, when I sort this out on my end, you know, reach out to them again. But yeah, I brought, you know, just value to the conversations I was in by just bringing up what Quorum is doing and, you know, where, what they're positioned to do in the future. And it blew people's mind, you know. So I do see that in the future, in the not so near, not so distant future, Quorum is going to start to, you know, become more of a topic. And as they become more visible, and they're, team is doing a great job. I was sharing with some people yesterday that, you know, I started to see ads on X now for Quorum and other things that the team is doing to get that word out there. So I do see that, you know, they're working to, you know, create that visibility. And as we do our work every day as community members, we do our podcast and, you know, whatever we do in our own way, I do believe that, you know, more and more people will come into this tech and, you know, they'll start to understand and start to leverage it. But there's just, I think so much come from Quorum and what they're doing.
Yeah, Fabio posted here today, reporting from Paris, kicking things off tomorrow at the Ripple Partner Summit, presenting key insights about Sologenic during a founder session. Here's a sneak peek of what we'll be demoing. And so you take a look at that, and they're extending the XRPL DeFi capabilities, enhanced liquidity, custom XRPL trading pairs, including the bridge assets, smart contract functionality, cross-chain assets, flows available for developers, and advanced tokenization use cases, add programmable business logic to native and bridged assets on Quorum with smart tokens. So I think that's going to be a powerful display that they are having at the Paris Blockchain Week for sure. Now that that bridge is live, I think that gives them a huge advantage.
For sure. And I can't wait for... you know, I think this month they have on the roadmap some key things that are coming, you know, with regards to even allowing distribution of tokens and other things. So, you know, the best is yet to come. Still a young blockchain and still a lot of things to, you know, build and implement. But what they're doing already and already have established, and you know, I could only see, you know, a bright future because the minds behind it are bright. You know, they're thinking forward and they're ensuring that they're staying ahead and not behind. So that's one of the things I can appreciate about the Quorum and the Quorum Foundation.
Absolutely. Well, if anybody would like to come up and speak, ask questions, tell us about what they're doing, how it all fits into Web3, floor is open. Just send up a request. We'll get you up here. I see Henry's here. We'll be having Lunar Space on next week on the podcast. Same time, same place. Looking forward to that. Learning more about the LSE token, I'm assuming. And a lot of exciting things happening on the IBC side of things with those guys too. So don't miss that one. Week after that, as I mentioned, episode 21 will be myweb3.me. I think that's going to be a very interesting project for the Web3 space. Creators, developers alike, I think, are going to really like what was built by those guys. I'm eager to try that tech out. So Again, floor is open, set up a request, articulate. Is there anything that we didn't touch on from the week at NFT NYC that you want to leave us with?
I think we kind of covered it for the most part. I was just, you know, happy and blessed to, you know, network with the people I did, and I'm, you know, grateful for the, you know, the networking and partnerships we did, and I'm looking forward to what comes from this in the future. I did recommend some people to the podcast in terms of being guests, so they did say they'll do it. So looking forward to having them on the podcast in the near future. So yeah, just was happy for the experience this year at NFT NYC, and it's always a great time to, and a great space as well, to kind of you know, be in the same room with some of the minds that are behind the movement happening in this space.
Absolutely. I've been to just a couple of Corium events, and the value I got from just those can't even put a price tag on it. So could imagine being at an event that, you know, covers the whole ecosystem in general, multiple projects. It's looking forward to that. Actually, I'll be, my first experience with that will be this August. I'm a media partner with ETH Toronto and the Futures Conference, so I'll be spending the week there. Quite looking forward to it for many reasons you discussed here. NTO, welcome.
Thanks, brother. Serious question here, Articulate. First of all, congratulations. Job well done here. We've been following your journey here. Question I really wanted to know with all that here, was there really anything in the cookies?
Oh, no. It was really good cookies. It wasn't anything that it wasn't anything apart from the main ingredients, which were like chocolate and sugar and stuff. But
I'm just kidding you, brother, because I love the picture, the expression on your face here when you did that post here. That just had me roaring. Was I going to say, yeah? Do you, this is also more for you and to Chris here. Chris, you gave a little nugget here the other day to me here, and I'm wondering if it's something I can discuss here about what you're working on regarding your letter there.
Oh, yeah. Now you're putting pressure on me because I'm supposed to have my homework done by the end of today. Yeah, if we're talking about the same thing, yeah, we're putting out a newsletter. Corium Community DAO is going to be putting out a monthly newsletter. Really excited about it. I see, oh, maybe he's gone. Bibby was here earlier. He's contributed a great piece on the NFT project. We're going to have a project highlighted every month in the newsletter. So we just picked one for the first one, but if anybody's interested moving forward, just give us a shout, and we'll be happy to get you featured on there, part of our community. But yeah, it's coming. It's a long overdue, a little bit late, but a lot of work's going into it. I think it's going to provide another great resource to the community, and hopefully another way for people to engage and see what's going on. So just to kind of recap what goes on every month around here, because it's hard to keep up with it all. So that's the plan with that. We're going to roll that out at no cost. We are going to be doing some things with it to enable those that want to contribute to the Corium Community DAO via that newsletter. We'll be able to do so. But in general, we're just going to have a place to access it in our Discord every month.
You can slap my hands if I wasn't supposed to say anything.
No, that's good. Good reminder. I got work to do today. I can't just sit around and be on spaces all day. Anybody else wants to come up, ask any questions, tell us about what's going on, any issues you're having with bridging. AMMs are going live this week. I think everybody by now has had ample opportunity to get up to speed with DeFi if you haven't already, but If you don't understand impermanent loss and how those pools work, just sit back and relax for a while, get yourself caught up. Doesn't pay to be first into the liquidity pools. It's very volatile, low liquidity in pools. So they got the fix up coming in a few days, but you know, once the activity all streams in there again, you know, anything can happen. So hopefully it works and everything's good with the two-way bridge between Corium and the XRPL. Nothing could make me happier than having a well-functioning AMM over there. I still, at this time, from what I see, think there's going to be advantage Corium about having a lot of these same pools on Pulsera and soon to be Welp. I think will probably be more incentivized, but time will tell. That's just my opinion. Go ahead, NTO.
Just something. I mean, I know people are aware of it, but I'll put it out there again here regarding the liquidity pools here. Be aware that one side doesn't go down too low here because it could affect your Pulsera airdrop, which is coming, I do believe, on this 18th, right?
Well, actually, and please go verify this. Don't make any decisions based on this comment, but I believe I seen in the Pulsera Telegram that if you're in a pool, you are fine. It doesn't matter if one side was weighted more than 10% lower or not, as long as you're in the pool. If you remove your asset from the pool and it is more than 10%, then you definitely have to make up that difference. But please verify that. But the way I glanced over it this morning, not because I have any skin in that game, my snapshot quorum is all where it needs to be, but that's how I understand it. So I think as long as you're providing liquidity, and I remember Alberto saying that when he was on the podcast, that they obviously don't want to have any reason not to support the platform when it comes to the snapshot times. You know, they don't, you know, want everybody pulling their stuff out at that time. So but do verify that before you make any financial moves and preparing for the snapshot. But yes, snapshot is the 18th and the airdrop a week after on the 25th. And that'll be the second of four. All right. Well, I'll give a last call for anybody that wants to come up. Otherwise, we can get ready to wind her down. I will probably be doing a live stream tonight at about 9 p.m. Pacific time, 9:30 Pacific time, and just to kind of go through the market in anticipation for the week ahead, the AMM, if anybody has any last minute questions with that, might do a bridge demo, just to kind of get the word out there, get a lot of traction on the live streams from the X community. So I think it's important to demonstrate that the bridge works well both directions.
Chris, is there, I don't know how many people are involved in the liquidity pools here. Is it your thoughts maybe down the road here, once these AMMs come on, that maybe do a 10-minute instructions on how to work these liquidity pools? Like how to utilize them, or have you done that already? If you have, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I will actually. I don't. Like I said, I think we're, you know, going to be better off with the incentivization on Corium DeFi with a lot of the assets I'd be using, like XRP, Solo, Corium, and USDC. But I certainly will, just as a long time XRP holder. You know, definitely going to play around. So that, yeah, you know, again, probably do a live stream when that comes live and just play around with it live. And I got to figure out how to get some good background music while I just hang out and do live streams that I don't get copyrighted for.
Well, I just have Articulate singing in the background.
No, he gives me permission and YouTube still slaps my hands for it. I'll get my head around that here one of these days.
Yeah, probably need some instrumentals or some
Yeah, StreamYard has a few you could choose from, but they're not great, but usable, I guess. Well, anyways, if nobody has any questions or wants to come up and speak, we can get ready to wind her down. Articulate, was there anything else you wanted to add before we shut down today?
Yeah, that's it. Just look out for the next episodes of the Super Ledger podcast, as Chris mentioned. Next week will be Lunar Space. And, you know, we have a lineup coming to close out the month. Be safe out there with the eclipse tomorrow. I'm not sure, but I do see a lot of, you know, state of emergencies and all those things. But, that's it for me. I'm just excited about the direction of this tech and this space, and just eager to do more, you know. So thank you guys for showing up today. If you want to check out my music, it's at Articulate, the same way I spell it here, ARTIKYOUL, and the number 8 on any streaming platform. And also you could go to omniflix.marketplace, type in Articulate, and you could get some exclusive music that's only available on Omniflix as a NFT. And, you know, we'll be doing stuff with that in the future. But, thank you guys for showing up and tuning in. And I look forward to sharing and bringing more value in the future.
Right on. Well, thanks again for giving us a recap on NFT NYC. Might loosely pencil it on the calendar for next year in anticipation of you speaking there. Maybe we'll get Corey and Punks represented there or something like that next year. Get the Punks up on Times Square billboard, maybe, if we're lucky. Great episode again. Thanks for sharing everything, and thanks for all your contributions to the Web3 space. You're a powerful member in the community, and honored that you're representing Corey Community DAO at such a venue, in, you know, which ultimately was your achievement, your accomplishment, your time to shine. So it was quite an honor for you to get the message out about Corey Community DAO while you're there doing that. So that meant a lot. I really appreciate it. I'm really happy that you're on the show today as a guest as opposed to co-host. Provide value for the community either way, and look forward to our next chat. With that, if nobody has anything else, we will wind it down for this week. As mentioned, episode 21, lunarspace.io has got some exciting new things happening and some updates coming from them. And week after that is going to be another great one. So stay tuned. Thanks for all your support. Peace and prosperity.
Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ends dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down pay. Got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken knives. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting knives. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known the politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss. And I'm liking the odds. Fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap. Yo, the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary fall. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of DNA stacked in non-toxic just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage, like the shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Beats tearing apart your community. All these low hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. landed it. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege. Commanding all the management to grab a few Z's, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy, before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality, stuck in the verbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Spaces.